Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to One Designer, Two Ideas. I'm Pam, your host, and the redesigner here. We come your way each Monday at 7:30 through the facilities of blogtalkradio.com. This network is filled with a number of talented hosts with shows that touch on a number of subjects. Page through the programming page to find a show, in addition to mine, that may interest you. Listen, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I did. Listen, I wanted to tell you this before we get started. If you guys want to call in, please do so. You're welcome to do that. The number to call in is 1-347-326-9930. That is 1-347-326-9930. And if you want to talk, please press 1. I'm so glad I remembered that. Also, friends, the chat room is open. Yes, if you don't want to talk and you want to chat, that's fine. Just go right ahead and go into that chat room. Let's talk. So today's show is the first of two parts, which will focus on the finishing touches of a redesigned room. The room has been decluttered and cleaned, walls painted, floors cleaned, and a few new pieces are added to the already existing pieces that have been redesigned and or refurbished. And that you're too proud of them. Now it's time to add the decorative pieces like wall art and accessories. Interior designers say putting the finishing touches on a room that has been redesigned is no different from accessorizing an outfit. Even with the best basics in place, an outfit doesn't truly shine without accessories. Think of that new suit without a tie to set it off, or that little red dress without a strand of pearls and great shoes. Accessories make the final product shine. This show will focus on dressing the walls. Just a few selected pieces can take an ordinary room and make it extraordinary. Serious artwork, even free-spirited funky collectibles to proudly exhibited photo collages are ready and good for wallscaping. But there are different things to consider when planning a gallery wall for these mediums. None of these can be done without a little thought and planning, but none needs more consideration than hanging and exhibiting original portraits. Why? Well, my friend, my sister Fanilo, and professional artist Jacqueline Lubin says people that buy original art should be extra careful when hanging the piece. For instance, she adds that one must be sure that the chosen spot to hang the art is a section of a room where sunlight will not touch it. Noting that original art isn't cheap, sun can ruin it, bleaching the colors over time. Well, doing my research, I learned a lot about original art, how to buy it, how to recognize it, but also how to hang it, which is the focus, the main focus of this show. But I thought it would be good to know more about the medium, and I didn't have to go far. Jacqueline is a very talented artist and was gracious enough to share her expertise with us. You can see her art scrolling. If you're on the programming page for this show, the scrolling art that you see, some of the art pieces, those are hers. Yes. And she was gracious enough to share her expertise with us. So isn't her work beautiful? I think it is. Well, there is more, and we will hear from the artist herself. Now, I want to tell you that this interview that I did with Jacqueline, she lives overseas, and we tried to connect by phone. I love talking to, you know, to the people that I interview, but she and I weren't able to secure a line. We tried messaging, we tried Skype, we tried a few things, but we couldn't we couldn't get it to work. So I did not want to exclude her from this show. So we did it by messaging. I asked her the questions. She gave me the answers. And I am relating the answers to you. This is, you know, you do what you have to do. And I'm learning that being on the radio, I am learning that we have to do what I knew that in life. But on the radio, you have to do what you have to do and to get things accomplished. And so I wanted to pose some questions to her. So because I hear artists and painters used when some talk about those that create original art, I asked Jacqueline, what does she consider herself? She said she considered herself an artist, adding that a painter was someone who painted walls and fences. That's why I kind of laughed, because she made me laugh. I thought that was a very clever answer. I asked her, what is your medium? In an article in El Decor, they listed fine art mediums as oil and watercolors. Jacqueline said her main medium was acrylic. She said she used to do paintings in oil, but then found out about acrylic colors. Also considered a fine art medium, Jacqueline said the great thing about acrylics was that it dried much faster than oil. So I asked her, how long has she been an artist? She said that she has been drawing and painting as long as she can remember. She said she was self-taught and learned a lot by studying pieces of other artists. So I asked her, well, what inspires you? She said she gets inspiration from great photos of people and animals. She said if it jumps at her, she just knows that she needs to paint it. Jacqueline has been the artist behind the portraits of music great Barry Manilow, offered to raise money for his project, the Manilow Music Project, where the organization supports music programs in public schools that are financially challenged. Jacqueline creates and donates portraits of Manilow. He signs them, and they are available to the public through a bidding process at MMP Donation Draw on Facebook and eBay. The money collected supports the efforts of the Manilow Music Project. I asked her how she came to be the artist behind the portraits of Manilow. She said she became a Fanilow, which I am also a Fanilow. Who does not love Barry Manilow anyway? She has been a Fanilow for 2 years. She said Manilow inspired her, and she had to paint him. The MMP draw was born as she was looking for something to give back to him as a way to thank him for all his inspiration through his music. Jacqueline said Manilow's management saw the first two paintings and loved them. Later during the second season of MMP draw, Manilow saw photographs of some of the paintings and agreed to sign the originals to be auctioned. And I asked her if that served as an inspiration to her, and she said very much so. Her work truly speaks volumes about her talent. I asked her about the finished product, the finished product, the framing, and if she offered tips on how to hang her portraits. She said a finished project consisted of the canvas piece, and that it was up to the customer whether or not it would be framed. She suggests the customer look for the right frame for their home, because she felt that they already knew beforehand where the portrait was going to hang and why it was going to hang the way it was. Well, that was seconded by another friend that I have that's an artist. And she said that when customers purchase her art, they know where, and she believes this is in most cases, that customers know whether the portrait is going beforehand. Adding that they give suggestions. Well, my friend told me she gives suggestions for hanging, but usually their customers have hired an art installer. I don't know. Maybe you knew it before I mentioned it. I didn't know there was a such thing as art installers, but you live and learn, Pam. There are art installers. Well, found out a little bit more about them, about art installers, when I read an article at a magazine. According to How to Hang Art Like a Pro, an article in El Decor, David Castle, founder of a professional art placement and installation service, contrary to popular belief, one does not need to hammer nails into studs or install hefty drywall anchors to support art. He said, use picture hanging hooks. He notes that they may look a little dainty. They were very, very secure. Castle said the picture hooks go into a wall on an angle, like a cat's claw, adding the way the hooks work for art was a whole different set of physics. Well, you guys, I didn't take physics, but he said it was a whole different. So I'm picturing that this is a whole different, you know, system in used, you know, to hang portraits. He said D-rings and gallery systems were also ways that could be used to hang art. Well, there are three types of hooks, picture hanging hooks. One nail hooks for works that are 30 pounds or less, a two nail hook for pieces that are about 50 pounds, and a three nail hook for pieces that are 75 to 100 pounds. That is a portrait, I'm telling you what. So, if you are doing it yourself, you may need an assistant. You may need a few things like an assistant, a leveler, a metal tape measure, and a good eye. And on that note, let's take a short break. We will return as we continue to figure out how to hang art, and then we will go into the other two picture collections that I think are easy to hang and that are part of this session that we are talking about, Wallscape. We'll be right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all. This is Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas. Thank you for tuning in to our show this evening. As you know, we are on the air each Monday night at 7:30 and again Thursday nights at 10 p.m. We talk all things home, from its interior redesign to house cleaning tips to ways to maintain it to be all that we want it to be. Through research, industry updates, and more, we try to give you the best information we can. Our homes should be our havens from the world, the best place that we can go to regroup, and it must be everything we need it to be. Dorothy said it best when she said in The Wizard of Oz, "There is no place like home." I keep that in mind when I am charged with redesigning a space or offering tips on redesign. If you want to join us, please feel free to do so. If you are interested in sponsoring a show, advertising during a show, or just want to help us keep the lights on here, please visit our website. There you will also see decor items designed by me and my staff that will assist you in taking your home's design in a new direction. You can pay your sponsorship or purchase our items securely through PayPal by entering our store. That address is www.onedesignertwoideas.weebly.com. That's www.onedesignertwoideas.weebly, which is W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. And just go to the store when you get there. This has been Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas. We thank you for listening. Now back to our show. Thank you for joining me, and we're back. If you are doing it yourself, if you are the Wallscape official and you are doing it yourself, because a number of people like to do things themselves, and this is something that you want to do, I'm going to give you a few tips from myself and from Heather Paper, the author of Decorating Ideas That Work, and some from L Decor. So let's talk about this. And if you want to do it yourself, you may need an assistant, as I said before the break, a leveler, a metal tape measure, and a good eye. Well, yeah. Heather Paper suggests these things if you are hanging art behind a couch. When positioning art, she says, the bottom of the piece should be about 8 inches higher than the back of the seating piece. Number two, if the piece is intended to be viewed by someone sitting in a chair, place it at eye level. Number three, the piece should measure 2/3 length of the seating piece. Number four, if it's arranged vertically, the piece will draw the eye and make the room look taller. Similarly, if it's placed horizontally, it can make the space seem wider. And that, you know, and that's funny because a lot of interior design is all about what we interpret, what we see, and how we interpret it. Now, the space is not wider, and it may not be taller, but the way in which we place things during when we're redesigning rooms and organizing galleries and creating space for original art, we have to create some, not a mirage, I don't want to say a mirage, but we want to open it up and make it look bigger and make it look wider and make it so it doesn't look cluttered and it doesn't look all pushed together. So it's really in the eye. It's what you interpret. It's what you see. And the way in which you place items can contribute to what you think you see, which is how Heather is saying how you can use the pieces to create, you know, something that simply may not be there, you know, just simply may not be there for real. So when talking about hanging and displaying collectibles, Paper says it does not have to be difficult. She said plan ahead and work with the plan. Work with the plan. Draw it on craft paper that is large enough for the grouping. If you got a collectibles and it's like plates or whatever you collect and you want to hang it on your wall and make it part of your wallscape, laying it out on craft paper is really good. Mark the spot. Love that. Yes, I do. So arrange the elements the way that you want them to look when they're on the wall. Then take the craft paper and tape it to the wall. Mark the nail holes by hammering just a little bit. Make sure, and she says this and I agree, make sure you are using the right hangers, hooks, D-rings, etc., that will support the pieces within the collection. Once the holders are securely in place, remove the craft paper and put each piece in its designed spot. I see that as being sort of easy. I love it. I love the craft paper. You can buy it at Hobby Lobby for $1. You can buy it at Dollar General for $1. You can probably buy it, I'm not sure, you can probably get craft paper that looks like, it looks like wrapping brown bags that they have at the grocery stores. That's what it looks like. Lay it out. It comes in a roll like wrapping paper. It's $1. Just lay it out. Create your collage. Do it on the, you know, do it on the kitchen table. Do it on the floor. However you want to do it, but scape it out. Scape it out. Take what you want. Lay it where you want it. Etch it. Sketch it where you want it. Mark where the nails of the holders should be, because all of this is going to work together to create this wallscape that you're trying to create. When it comes to collectibles, that I honestly believe that the planning is truly necessary. It just I just don't believe that you just, you know, decide that you want to hang it on the wall and that's that. I think it does take planning. I'm glad that Heather said that in her book. I have noted that before with my other customers and friends. I think I blogged about it. Planning is everything, especially in interior redesign and interior design. Planning is everything. Now, when it comes to creating the wall photo galleries, and you know, they are very different and very personal, and it just really, I think it has to do with the person that's doing it. So the steps as to the placement, as we discussed pertaining to collectibles, is about the same. But finding the right frames for hanging is paramount Not all frames hang as well as they stand. To get the, you know, to get more information on this, you'll find a link that I posted that after the show that will talk more about photo galleries. They're just kind of different. And if you want to frame them or, you know, they're on canvases, all of this needs to be taken into consideration. And you know what? Maybe hiring or talking to an art installer, which I did not know existed until I did my research for this show, may be a very good idea. I know that all frames are not created the same. A lot of them, I think, and I don't know if anyone will agree with me, but I think that frames without the stand in the back, that just, you know, that there's no option to stand the frame. I think if you want to create, you know, a wall, a photo wall collage, that be those frames that don't have the back. I think that that just would work easier, you know. So, not all frames hang as well as they stand. To get information, as I said, I have posted some information for you to be at the One Designer, Two Ideas Facebook page after the show. Approach nailing holes in walls with caution. Command, the nailless hanging system, has so many options to choose from, and I suggest you do your homework and find the best solutions for you. Little, you know, we never know what's behind the walls. I have my friend Joe. I think I talked about her in my last show. She had some issues. Her house is beautiful. It is a beautiful home. It is an older home, and there was a lot of refurbishing and redesigning there. And in her living room, she has this open floor plan. For the house to be an older home, it has an open floor plan. And I think there are tracks with those draw doors. Oh my goodness, I remember that growing up in Chicago. That we had an apartment that had a draw door. I just thought that was just so historic. I just love that. Anyway, on one of the walls in her living room, we noticed that there was water coming from the wall, and I was a bit taken back. The pipe, water, hot water pipe, had burst. That hot water was bubbling through her wall, and it was coming, it was running down the wall like it was open. Since then, I've passed this along, I've suggested this to friends, just be careful nailing long nails in your walls. I honestly would suggest the command, and also the systems, a lot of the systems that I learned about doing the research of this show, they have very small nails. They grip into, as Castle said, the way that they grip into the wall doesn't go straight. It goes down. And I think that may help. But that I'm just giving you this information, and hopefully it will help, you know, it will help you. I so appreciate Jacqueline for giving us a look behind the canvas, if you will, of what it's like to be a professional artist. Her work is inspiring. It's realistic. Whether it's what she sees with her own eyes or she's capturing the essence of a photo. As I told you guys, I have added her to the One Designer, Two Ideas vendor list. She said during our interview that she has projects lined up, but would be happy to talk to any of you about commission portraits. Her prices start at $300. When ordering, she does ask for a deposit. If you are interested in talking to Jacqueline about a Jacqueline Lubin original, contact her on Facebook or through her email address, which I post at the Facebook page. We're going to take another short break. Be right back. Thank you. hey, and we're back. Well, I hope this show has been helpful to you. If your room's finishing touches involve hanging original art collectibles or photo galleries, I urge you, if you are considering the DIY hanging, to please research, ask questions, and the like. If you are leaving the wall to an art installer, I have that information as well. See the Facebook page for that link. Yes, there is a group that represents Art Installers of America. Yes, and I have posted that address. It will be on the One Designer Two Ideas Facebook page after the show. Let me give you that address to make sure that you can go there to get this information that you need. It is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. That is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. And that's all together. Well, I just want to make sure that you guys just please read the links, and if you know, I hope it helps. Well, we'll see you Thursday for the Decor Short and Preview Show at 10 p.m., and then we will be right back here on Monday for part two of the Finishing Touches, where the focus will be on adding accessories to our redesign or design projects. It's the scarf around the neck of the new blue dress. Please be sure to listen. Well, but before we go, the One Designer, Two Ideas Worthwhile Moment bounces to and from the Harlem Globetrotters. Now, you might say, the Harlem Globetrotters? Yes. Who has not heard of this iconic exhibition basketball team that was founded in 1927? Known as the Ambassadors of Goodwill, the Harlem Globetrotters combined athleticism, theater, and comedy to entertain audiences worldwide. While they entertain, they remain committed to communities throughout and those in it. Focus tonight is on their campaign to counter bullying. Known worldwide as the Ambassadors of Goodwill, the iconic Harlem Globetrotters present the community outreach program, the ABCs of Bullying Prevention, in an effort to impact schools and communities around the world. Designed by the Globetrotters in coordination with the National Campaign to Stop Violence, the program focuses on action, bravery, and compassion, comprising the ABCs. The program targets 6 to 12-year-old children and involves Globetrotter players discussing the three key words in the ABCs and tools that kids can use on a daily basis to reduce bullying. The Globetrotters equate what it means to be part of a team to how kids can offer support to one another to help stop bullying. The important message of bullying and violence prevention is conveyed with participation from the kids and the team's signature ball handling skills and humor for a well-balanced program that informs and entertains. NCSB, a nonprofit organization, firmly believes that young people who think about their actions in the non-confrontational way that was what ways that this program extols can create a culture where aggressive behavior is frowned upon and violence is thereby reduced. Students frequently cite bullying as a cause of violence that they experience, and the rate of which kids are reporting the cause is increasing. We hope that by reaching these kids early in their lives, they might be taught valuable lessons in character and empathy from the positive role models of the Harlem Globetrotters. To request a Globetrotter at your school, administrators, teachers, and principals can email for information, and I have posted also at the One Designer Two Ideas Facebook page. The Harlem Globetrotters and the ABCs of Bullying Prevention is this week's One Designer, Two Ideas Worthwhile Moment. Thanks again for joining me. This has been Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas. Enjoy the rest of the night.